The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. Discussing pressing issues. The Aussie Cossack on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aussie Cossack Show. I'm your host, Aussie Cossack, broadcasting live from the Russian consulate in Sydney. After 180 days of being holed up in here, going stronger than ever, happier than ever, confident than ever, because we have great news. The Ukrainian counteroffensive has absolutely failed. And although it's a tragedy that so many thousands of Ukrainians have died in the last few days, it is a tragedy. And the heroic resistance and defense from the Russian forces, you know, must be noted. Glory to the Russian soldiers who are holding the line, holding off the onslaught of NATO tanks, Leopard tanks, American Bradley infantry fighting vehicles, French wheeled tanks. It's just unbelievable the amount of NATO hardware which has been destroyed in the past 7 days. Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, officially confirming that this was the Ukrainian counteroffensive, the long and awaited. Why is this so significant? Well, this has been the wonder weapon, the climax which the West has been building to. Don't forget, over the past 12 months, the Ukrainian government has been saying, we need this, we need Leopard tanks, we need Bradleys, we need these weapons, we need this much money, and they've been getting it all, promising a counteroffensive in exchange. Now, the whole world can see that it is indeed the counteroffensive. In fact, in the first 3 days this week of the counteroffensive, 10% of the total amount of German tanks and American infantry fighting vehicles were destroyed. In fact, we're now hearing reports that the Russian forces actually managed to capture some of these German Leopard tanks, and I'll be looking forward to publishing those photos and videos of captured German tanks. I mean, what a PR disaster, first of all, of course, for the Ukrainian government, who refused to even acknowledge this as a counteroffensive. I mean, if this is supposed to be the entree, if they're denying that this is the counteroffensive that the whole world has been waiting for, then if this is the entree, then where's the main? Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There is no main course. There's no first course. There's no second course. This entree, this counteroffensive, that's all they have. And unfortunately for the West, and unfortunately for the Western munitions companies, defense companies like Rheinmetall from Germany, whose share price has dropped after climbing 124% in the last 5 years, it's just dropped significantly, because we now have evidence for the whole world to see that NATO weapons are not superior. They are not some kind of magic fixer that will defeat the Russians. It's going to take a lot more than anything that the NATO government has, or the governments combined, and together 30-plus countries involved in backing Zelensky, to try to take on the Russians. Now, the Russians have had the last 6 months at least to dig in and prepare, and they've done an excellent job. The Russians have withstood multiple attacks on all lines of the front, but significantly in the Oryakov area of the Zaporozhye front. We've got a lot of discussion this week, again, about the Kakhovka Dam that was blown up by Ukrainian forces. The West trying to blame Russian forces for it, but we can see that the Ukrainian counterattack is taking place everywhere except for the flooded Kherson region. So no coincidence there. Certainly that was part of their strategy. Their strategy, should I say. Want to make special note to everyone listening. If you had been on the right side of history for this period of time, for the last 14 months, and you had seen through the propaganda and lies of the West, of NATO, of the Ukrainian Zelensky regime, congratulations. Now, you know, we are getting closer and closer to a definite Russian victory. And if you've been a observer, if you've been somebody on the sidelines, on social media, out there, you know, in the workplace, in a Western country, amongst friends and family, having conversations about this and challenging the Western narrative, well, now is your time to revel in the glory of victory, because victory is coming for the Russians. This is it. This was the final push that the Ukrainians would give. This is what Zelensky promised the West. He promised a counteroffensive. He has now failed to deliver. And the question is, what now? On the back of that, this week in Australia, we've had calls and pressure, pressure from the opposition, from the Liberal Party, namely Simon Birmingham and others, really pushing and pressuring Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to hand over Australian reserves, strategic reserves or retired supplies of its F-16 fleet. Now, there is 41 of these fighter bombers available. Now, Albanese has, in fact, is been withstanding the pressure. The FA-18s, I believe they are. But there's 41 of them in storage. And Alba has been withstanding the pressure. They've also been trying to push Albanese to hand over the 59 main battle tanks, the average battle tanks that Australia has. But upon seeing the results of the cream of the crop, the best of the best that the Americans and the Germans have given to Zelensky, and seeing the destruction that the Russian military has rained upon, you know, the best of the best of NATO, what chance do Australian Hawkeye four-wheel drives from Bendigo have? And this is where the sober voices, the serious people in Australian government are telling Albanese, his advisors are saying to him, Albo, don't go there. It was a mistake for Scott Morrison to get involved in the beginning and send Australian bushmasters and weapons overseas. Now it's going to be a mistake if Australia commits any other weapons. And the Ukrainians are absolutely going berserk. They're jumping up and down, demanding that Albanese hands over whatever weapons Australia has left. I could just imagine the Chinese watching and eating popcorn and laughing. You know, one part of me says, yeah, go ahead, Albert, demilitarize yourself. You'll be crying crocodile tears in a few years when you'll look back and you'll say, we need those weapons. There is a global weapons shortage. But speaking of Anthony Albanese, who's been under pressure, and I don't know whether I should, congratulate him for withstanding the pressure, or does he deserve congratulations? Probably not. He's not withstanding the pressure because he wants to, because he has no choice. Australia simply has no weapons anymore to give. But we're going to be joined by a very, very interesting guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is somebody who is the same age as Albanese, 61 years old, born the same year, grew up in Sydney at the same time, and coincidentally was in the same class as Albo, when Albo was a student in primary school and high school from year 6 to year 12 at Sydney's prestigious St. Mary's Cathedral School. Now, I'm led to believe that back in those days when Albo was studying, it wasn't a super-duper elite private school. It was simply a school that was available to the demographic from which Anthony Albanese came from. We all know he came from a not so well off demographic. He prides himself on that, being from the working class. And our guest tonight, Mario, is going to tell us about Albo, and he's going to give us the inside intel on how Albanese was in school. And we hope tonight we can discover aspects of Anthony Albanese's character to help us understand and predict his policies and actions in the future, in particular from a geopolitical perspective. If anything, Albo has been a person who is quite weak, I would believe, I've observed, in terms of his geopolitical character. He hasn't been robust. He hasn't been independent in his decision-making. You know, if anything, we see Penny Wong, the one in the relationship wearing the pants, quite literally, and she does wear pants. I've probably never seen her wear a dress in Parliament. And Penny Wong really does see herself as the next prime minister. I mean, Albo just reminds me more and more of Joe Biden, the way he behaves. Mario's on the line from Anthony Albanese's class. Mario, welcome to the Aussie Cossack Show on TNT Radio.
Hello, Simeon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for reaching out to us and coming forward. Let's just call you a whistleblower, shall we? We want the intel.
Okay.
We want the intel on Albanese in school. We want to hear it all. Start with something about yourself. So you obviously grew up in Sydney. You're born here. What's your background?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my parents are. I'm born here in Australia in Sydney, but my parents emigrated here. So my father was Italian and my mother is Spanish. And my father emigrated here in 1956, and my mother in 1958. So basically, they came here when all the Europeans were coming to Australia, and then I was born in 1962. And so basically, I went to St. Mary's Cathedral, And I started there in sixth grade, and I went there for 7 years. So all the way from sixth grade to year 12. And yes, Anthony was in, basically we were in the same classes for 7 years. But I can't say I went to school with Penny Wong.
St. Mary's Cathedral School, was that co-ed or boys only?
No, it was only boys only. I don't know what it is now, but it was just boys only. So basically you've got the cathedral. It's right there next to Hyde Park, right? And maybe not everybody knows it, but it's the school right behind the big church. And then as you correctly said, in those days it was not, I don't know if the fees are expensive these days, but when we were there as kids, it was just the regional school. So if you lived within the region, that was the, like the Catholic school that you went to, you know,
for catchment area.
The catchment area, basically. So my parents would be.
I know St. Mary's Cathedral School because I did a few years at St. Andrew's Cathedral School down the road at the... at St. Andrew's Square there. So we'd often bump into your students after school.
We knew
all the hiding spots where we could smoke cigarettes at recess and lunch, you know, behind the dumpsters and in the alleys. That was the good old days.
Exactly. And getting sausage rolls at Centrepoint when all of a sudden... microwaves appeared as an invention. I remember that when I was a kid. That was a pretty big deal for me.
The latest craze. Well, I would like to know about Anthony Albanese, and you've got a very interesting story about him. And before we go into this story that you're going to bring us, let's say you've got the intel on Albanese, I want our audience to cast their mind back to a bill that was passed under Albanese, under the Labor government. And it was a new law that brought in fines of up to $22,000 and up to 2 years jail. And this was passed, of course, in New South Wales, and there were equivalent bills passed in the other states. But nevertheless, Anthony Albanese had a role in this as the Prime Minister. Now, the bill introduced fines and jail for anyone found to have blocked roads or seriously disrupted or obstructed pedestrians or vehicles. And there was outrage across the political landscape from the left and the right, people coming forward, the unions, New South Wales, who traditionally always support the Labor Party. Even the Greens came out and condemned this bill, especially the climate protesters. And there was quite a lot of opposition to this bill. Nevertheless, they got the bill through. Now, Albanese is a person who himself, we're about to find out, ladies and gentlemen, was involved in blocking pedestrians and obstructing pedestrians back in the days in high school. You're about to hear about it now live on TNT Radio. Mario, tell us what you remember from Albo in high school.
All right. Well, first of all, maybe everyone should realize that back when Anthony and I were at school, Anthony is as skinny as a beanpole, and he had, believe it or not, blonde surfy hair. Like, his hair was kind of quite long, and it was as blonde as anything, right? So these days he's got the parted hair, and he looks more like an accountant, I suppose, you know, wearing a suit and everything. But back in the day, he was a very lovable rascal, really. I mean, you know, everybody liked him, I must say. And he was as skinny as anything, and he had blonde surfy hair. So if you can imagine all this with a blonde surfy skinny kid, right? Because if you imagine today's Anthony Albanese, you'd be imagining the wrong thing, right? But anyway, essentially we were in it's a while ago now, because, you know, our school days, and I will be 61 this year. I'm 60 at the moment. So I was either in year 10 or year 11. I can't remember exactly which one, but it was probably year 11. Anyway, you know how you have like lunchtime, but you also have recess. You got like morning play lunch, right? And so we'd had our recess, which is what, a 20-minute break or whatever it is. And after that, you know, you're all just young boys and everything. You've got tons of energy and everything. And really, literally the whole, like, you know, our St. Mary's Cathedral was like three or four floors, you know. So, and it was all just staircases. So after recess, everybody's got tons of energy, and the whole school is just like stampeding up these stairs going back to all of their classes, right? And so you've got hundreds of children, hundreds of boys just like running up these stairs. And, you know, this was just one recess morning like any other morning, I guess. Like, but I just happened to – and we were pretty – anyway, I just happened to look to my right and Anthony was just there next to me, right? And we might have had a few kids in front of us, but at that morning particularly, we had pretty much the whole school behind us, right? And Anthony being the sort of lovable rascal that he was, I just looked at him and I looked over and I saw he was there. And then he put his arm out to me, like kind of like in a hooked kind of way. And like, you know, to say without saying a word, but it like, you know, that's hook arms, right? So straight away without any words being said, I understood what he meant, right? So I hooked arms with him, right? And he's on my right, I'm on his left. And then I also understood as part of this idea that he had was that we were to just hold on to the balustrades, right? So essentially we created a blockage, right? Are you with me, Simeon? You got this visualized?
Well, so I've got the picture in mind. You and Albanese. Yeah. On the stairs at St. Mary's Cathedral School,
yeah,
blocking the grand staircase.
Yes.
During recess with a stampede of hundreds of students behind you. Keep going.
Okay, yes, you're on. Yeah, you're with me. So basically, yeah, we just created this like a fence, a gate kind of thing. And then, you know, the kids that are immediately behind us, they kind of tripped over us and you know, they started creating a, like a human pile of boys, I suppose. And then those kids behind them tripped over them and then those kids. And before we knew it, we had this human pile of us, schoolboys, which I was part of, but it was Anthony's idea.
It was Anthony's idea, ladies and gentlemen. At the same time, under the Albanese government, we have climate change protesters. Now, disagree with them or agree with them, it's regardless. But climate change protesters, such as Violet Coco, was given a 15-month sentence, 8 months, no parole, for doing something similar on the Harbour Bridge. Anthony Albanese, we're going to get to the bottom of all of your school time escapades right after this break on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Charlie Robinson.
$880 billion was the number I saw. Now, San Francisco can't make their rent, okay? They're bankrupt. The entire city is bankrupt. But yeah, let's carve out almost $1 trillion to pay people that weren't slaves money in a state that didn't have slaves from a bunch of people that, I don't know, never really even owned slaves either. So it seems like a really dumb idea. North Carolina, though, where you guys are, that was actually a slave area. Where are your reparations?
There's no speak of reparation right here. Now, of course, I don't want them. All right. I do not want them.
I know you don't.
Look, yeah. The simple fact of reparations is ridiculous because the people who may have needed them have been long gone. I mean, they haven't been on this planet for a while now. So it makes no sense at all, reparations at this point in time. And then plus, with the way our currency is currently, as far as devaluing the dollar, I mean, yeah, just go ahead and drop $800 billion, you know, into the marketplace with no product behind it, and I'm pretty sure nothing will skyrocket in price. Right, Charlie? Nothing to go
right,
up.
Yeah.
Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
If you're talking about it,
over 6,000 migrants per day on average were apprehended after illegally crossing the border.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Aussie Cossack on TNT Radio. Just before the break, we uncovered a mysterious fact about Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's school life when he was involved in a very dangerous and mischievous premeditated plan to block pedestrian traffic, causing a major catastrophe at St. Mary's Cathedral School, blocking students. We have his co-accused on the line, or co-conspirator on the line. Mario, thank you for joining us. Very concerning information. We've got Anthony Albanese, rules for thee and not for me.
Yes, a very serious situation, Simeon.
An outrageous allegation of blocking pedestrian traffic. And of course, yes. what year would that have been?
Well, we did the HSC in 1980, so it was either 1979 or 1978.
Well, there you go. Well, unfortunately for the protesters of 2022 and 2023, such actions are now criminalised, and you know, well, there has been a lot of outrage.
That was a pre-woke world, Simeon. So
that was the good old days when protesting was a good thing, and when the left was actually against war, instead of now where the left is saying, yes, yes, send more weapons to Zelensky.
Exactly, exactly. And whatever the news says, they believe.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I got a lot of respect for the left of those days in the 80s and the 70s and the anti-war movements and those large protest movements. I think that's where the left was honourable. And what does the left become now? It's just become this sort of, you know, woke disaster. It's getting worse and worse. They're trying to outdo themselves in their wokeness. Yep. And Albanese, he's certainly happy to be a part of that. Now, you mentioned before the break that you say Albanese reminds you of someone who was he's got that accountant sort of look nowadays. Yes. But back in the day, you know, he was your mate at school. Tell me, yes. Did he have a lot of friends? Was he a popular kid? Was he bullied or was he a bully?
Yeah, no, he was well liked. I mean, I got to say, he was a lovable rascal and kind of cheeky, you know, and everyone liked
him. Hang on, Mario, we didn't get you on this show to talk nice things about Albo. Let's get this straight.
No, well, look, let's be serious.
You're going to call a spade a spade. You can do that on 2GB, but on TNT, we want you to give us all the dirt on Albanese. Surely you can remember something bad that he did in school. I mean,
well, look, maybe
I was in school. I was suspended 15 times. You know, I've got plenty of crazy stories about myself. But tell us about Albo.
Yeah. Well, see in your case, okay. So you got suspended a few times, but in my book, you know, I really respect what you're doing and what you where you're coming from, right? Unfortunately, like I think in our day, back in the 70s when we were kids, you know, it was easy, society, it was very easy to go with the flow that was then. So back in the 70s and the 80s, we were in a different world, right? Marriage was a different thing and everything was a different thing, right? We've undergone a cultural Marxist shift, right? So Anthony, he was well liked, and he's a cheeky kind of rascal kind of guy, and everyone liked him, right? But I think when the society shifts, and then the people that basically don't have, they basically whichever way society moves, if you're weak, you move with the society, right? And you should stay with what's true and what's moral and what is correct. And so in one way, I think, you know, the fact that he was really loved then by all his friends and everything, but these days he just goes with whatever will get you the votes, is weak.
Well, it is at the moment we see that he's under a lot of pressure. And I mentioned this in the beginning of the program, that Albanese is being pressured by all sides of politics to declare more weapons shipments from Australia to the Zelensky regime. Now, it's a question of can Albanese withstand the pressure? Now, I don't think Albanese, he's got his heart in it. You know, he was initially following on from the policies of Scott Morrison, where they started, where Morrison started supplying Australian weapons and exporting them for free, essentially demilitarizing, disarming Australia, sending everything off to Zelensky, and all of this stuff that Australia sent has all been destroyed. Some of it's been captured. The Australian bushmasters on display in Russian military museums, you know, they're showing them off as trophies. And we warned them. We warned them that this is a bad thing to do. But what happened when Scott Morrison handed the keys over to Albo? They retained the same policies. In fact, they retained the same head of the Australian Defence Force, Angus Campbell, which is unusual, right? Usually they change the candidates. They bring in new people when a new government comes in. But Albo was happy to go with the flow. And you can see the relationship that Peter Dutton, who is now the opposition leader, has with Richard Marles, the now defence minister from Labor, from Albanese. They're mates. There is no opposition. It's Albo following from what the Liberal government left for him, the legacy. And it is really unfortunate that maybe now, Albo, do you think he regrets being pushed into this? Because the Ukrainians are very unhappy. They're saying that Albo hasn't given money. You know, in the last 6 months, he's given $0. They demand more. And we had earlier this week, Ukrainian Defense Minister Reznikov make announcements, jumping the gun. Albo didn't even agree to anything. The Ukrainians are already saying that we're going to get tanks and planes, jet fighters from Australia. Does Albanese's character, from what you remember in school, is this indicative of the way he behaves now, where he's just going with the flow? He's an easygoing guy, well liked, wants to remain, you know, popular, so everyone likes him, and he's not the rebel type of guy to say no and stick up to things and be defiant.
Well, look, Simeon, I mean, you know, Anthony and I, we were not like best friends in the playground. We were just friends, you know, and like there's millions of kids in the playground and everything, right? So I can't really speak about Anthony's, character that I know him that well, right? Everybody liked him and he was a funny guy, right? But I would say, what are we as a country, what are we doing, right? Because, I mean, I got rid of a TV years ago because I realize it's all propaganda on the news and everything and whatever, right? But I speak to a friend recently and they say, you know, they watch the news and they listen to the mainstream media and everything. And in their mind, like, you know, Ukraine's winning and this, that, whatever. Well, I listen to Colonel Douglas McGregor, right, or a guy like Scott Ritter or something on YouTube. And like, for instance, they both like have you know, their career soldiers and everything, and they understand exactly what's going on. And I've known from the very beginning that Russia has been winning from the very beginning, right? A year and a half, 2 years ago, whenever it started, right? So what is the news giving us? What it's propaganda, right? So we are within a propaganda bubble, and we've got a government that, what are we doing supplying a government that was brought in and with a coup in 2014, right? The average person on the street doesn't realize that in 1991, the Soviet Union disbanded, and then NATO and America said, we will not encroach further on you. So all the countries that were in the, you know, Poland and all those others, Eastern Europe, were, okay, we won't encroach. But sure enough, country by country, they joined NATO, right? And then, so Putin's looking at that, watching it year after year. And then finally, and then in 2008, NATO actually announced that Ukraine and Georgia were both, in the future, would join NATO. So Putin's looking at that and he's saying, sorry, that's not going to happen, right? And then in 2014, there's a government, a legally elected government in Kyiv, in Ukraine, and a coup happens. It was a coup, right? And they got rid of the government. They installed this puppet regime, right? And so that's like Russia, if Russia went and created a coup in Mexico, right? And basically then started putting missiles in Mexico, how would America react? I don't think very well, right? But that's essentially what Ukraine is, right? So what are we doing as a country supplying anything to a government that was installed in a 2014 coup?
Well, You speak a lot of reason, and I just wish that the likes of Penny Wong and Albanese could pay attention and listen to what you're saying. I mean, you're just an honest person. You know, you proved that already in the program where you refused to supply disinformation against Albanese at school. I couldn't get that out of you. So, there's a high probability that your credibility is very strong. And for you to give that very nice spill, explaining the conflict, explaining the background to the conflict, is just excellent. So thank you. And to thank you to any Australian out there who's listening and who looks at the conflict in a similar way that you do, because you're spot on. You hit the nail on the head, and well, congratulations that you've been able to...
It's historical. You just have to look at the facts, you know?
So. You've been able to withstand the propaganda of the media, because what did you tell me? You told me that you threw out your TV. You don't have a TV anymore. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the key. People say, oh, Russia's losing the war. And I say to them, turn off your TV, and all of a sudden Russia's winning the war, right?
Yeah.
It's people who are obsessed or just, you know, addicted to watching mainstream media, to getting their news from the mainstream media, just as it was during the lockdowns, during the COVID. And now they're coming around, and when they're realizing that what the media has been telling them is false. I mean, Russia's been losing, according to the media, from day one. And this Ukrainian counteroffensive, which is a failed counteroffensive that's taken off in the last 7 days, is a big turning point in the war. So, Mario, being a person who was in the same class as Anthony Albanese, I'm sure he's going to listen to this broadcast. I'm sure that the Australian Signals director and the Canberra agencies are thinking, oh my goodness, what are they going to say about our Prime Minister? You know, they're certainly going to be worried, and they're listening in. We know that for sure. What is your message as someone who was in school with Albo, in the same class as him? You were a co-conspirator in a crowd stampede, incident, which Albo was. Which Albo was the mastermind of. What's your message to him in regards to sending Australian weapons and Australia's involvement in this war?
Well, you know, Simeon, like I said, he was a very lovable character. Everybody liked him. So, I can only sort of... But what I would say is that, look, we went to a Catholic school. We're Christian. What are you as a Christian? It's the Bible, right? Read the Bible and you will realize that... You know, marriage is a certain thing, a certain definition, or there's a lot of things in the Bible that are written, right? I'm a Christian. Well, I say to Anthony, like, where did you stand and support this issue or that issue, right? He's gone and I can't call him a Christian, right? And so whether it be supplying arms or what bridge he stands for and supply. And, you know, I can't even really speak because I'll be called names by cultural Marxists that have already got their names for me, you know? So I would say to Anthony, you know, you just, what happened to your character, to your morals?
Well really? Said, well said. Well, You're of the generation, you know, of my parents. You grew up in a time where Australia, where the cost of living was affordable, where you were able to, you know, after a few years, buy a house compared to now people 50, 60 years, they can't pay off a house. Young people have no chance to break into the market. Australia has changed. The cost of living has gone through the roof. Albanese, one of his pet likes is to blame Russia for everything. Blame Russia for the cost of living, blame Russia for the high price of energy. And it's just convenient for the mainstream media, for the government to blame Russia. What we should be blaming is the failings of the government during the lockdowns. That's why the interest rates have gone through the roof. That's why, you know, bread costs $5, $6 a loaf. That's why people are struggling all around the country, not because of Russia. In fact, it's got nothing to do with Russia at all, does it? But... You know, I think people are starting to understand this. Have you seen yourself, have you seen a shift in public opinion in relation to Russia? And initially maybe last year, February, March, the end of February, beginning of March, people were inclined to saying that, you know, Russia's the bad guy. Have you seen a shift in public opinion and your friends and family around yourself when it comes to the question of Russia?
I have. I mean, basically, look, I remember when we were coming towards the end of the COVID thing, right? So we'd been through this massive, you know, you've got Fauci on the TV and you've got all the local Australian people, Dr. Kelly, whatever her name is, I can't remember. And, you know, that horrendous Melbourne.
You mean Dr. Kerry Chan?
Yeah, her and, you know.
I got to add, he's a top bloke, by the way.
The premier down in Melbourne?
No, Dr. Kerry Chan's a top bloke.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's a good guy. you know, yes. And so they're on the TV like 24/7 and, you know, the poor public were just getting inundated with this propaganda again on their televisions, you know, and their radios and everything. And then anyway, so the whole thing starts dying down after whatever it was, two and a half years or whatever. And then because, I mean, I'm interested in just watching humanity, right? And so I thought, okay. And then all of a sudden I started hearing this thing about Russia and everything. And I thought, okay, that's the first word I heard about Ukraine and Russia. So I counted the days, and it wasn't even 2 weeks from the end of the COVID propaganda, right, to the beginning of Russia bad, Putin bad. And it wasn't even 2 weeks. It was 10 days. I counted it to everybody. Like, I'd just be in the supermarket and I would talk to a friend or whatever, and it was like, oh, Russia and Putin, right? The TV, again, brainwashed everybody into exactly what they were telling them, you know? And I just refuse to get brainwashed by what some media tells me. I will look at the facts, and I can tell you the facts, exactly what has happened since 1991, you know? But these people don't know. They just, whatever the TV tells them, it's like, oh, okay, that's it, and I'll just repeat that because that's easier, because I'm more, you know, that's what's a footy score? That's more important.
We love the facts, and I'll stop you right there, because right after this break, we'll be back with the facts on how this all started from the perspective of someone who was in Anthony Albanese's class at St. Mary's Cathedral School. We're back after this break on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I'm in Newark, New Jersey right now. I'm here to watch a wrestling tournament tomorrow. And the reason I'm telling you that is twofold. One, when I was a kid, people used to say, and I didn't agree with this, that Newark was the armpit of the world. I don't agree with that for a second. And of course, one of the things we have to remember is the armpit is an essential body part. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, Scott, I didn't look too bad around here. Visibility's around 10 miles. Looks like the smoke is gone. I wonder if the climate change somehow has gotten rid of all the smoke. Of course, I am being facetious. Maybe one of you could write TNT and give me a definition of that word. It has more than two syllables, and everybody knows that I'm a Neanderthal because of my climate change position. But the fact is, the smoke is clearing out of the northeast part of the United States. And much of the United States is cooler than normal. It's going to get mighty, mighty hot in Texas. I know that comes as a shock to you, that it's going to get hot in Texas during summer. And guess what? There's going to be severe weather this weekend in the southern part of the United States. So you see, that's the glory of the climate change situation. You can get rid of the wildfire smoke, but all we got to do is run to Texas and severe weather, and we can blame climate change again. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog Meteorologist Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Stop the jab and save lives. The COVID vaccine does not work. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Aussie Cossack Show on TNT Radio. We're joined tonight by a member of the Albanese gang in school. He was a gang member, can I put it that way, who were conducting activities, subversive activities at recess, blocking pedestrians, creating crowds on the stairwell.
On the stairwell, yes. True, Simeon. I do admit we did that.
Guilty on all counts. Well, you would be if it was 2023. You could be sentenced to 8 months or even two years jail for blocking pedestrian traffic. Very interesting aspect into Anthony Albanese's life has been revealed tonight on TNT Radio. But look, All jokes aside, we're having a very serious conversation about public perception into the Russia-Ukraine war and how it's changed in Australia. Public opinion has changed. Mario, you were born in Australia. You're 61 years old. You're from a migrant background, just as I am, just as Albanese is. And you've seen the development and the change in public opinion. Speaking of Russia, by the way, on Monday, in 2 days' time, on the 12th of June, it will be Russian National Day, which is, you know, the equivalent of Australia Day for Russia. So congratulations to everyone out there listening and the Russian ambassador, Dr. Alexei Pavlovsky in Canberra, the Russian government, Vladimir Putin, and all the soldiers on the front line, the Russian people. You know, what an amazing thing that we're allowed to say this on a radio station, probably the only radio station in Australia where you can actually congratulate Putin and the ambassador on Russia Day, which is coming up. But some people don't really see it as Independence Day. It's funny, they call it Russian Independence Day, but independence from who? Russia was the dominant power in the Soviet Union, and it was the successor to the Soviet Union and the Russian Empire. So it's a little bit of a funny funny day, the you know, the Russia Day, the adoption of declaration. But I suppose that means nothing to you, or does it? Do you have honest and legitimate interest in Russia yourself, Mario?
I do. Yeah, I do, actually. Because, okay, I mean, being my age, I remember when the Soviet Union, which the Soviet Union is not Russia. Russia was part of the Soviet Union, and there are a lot of countries that were part of the Soviet Union that are now, like Poland and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. In those days, it was like we, like here, us in the West, we were relatively free, and it was poor old Soviet Union that was under communism and Marxism, right? So, but what's actually happened now is, as far as I can see from what I've, you know, what I've learned, is that essentially Russia's now, you know, basically like a Christian nation again and everything. And us in here in the West, we are suffering from Marxism, right? Because the initial Marxism was like, you know, pitting the have against the have-nots, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a second stage of Marxism, which is called cultural Marxism, right? So I would say to everybody out there, you look up cultural Marxism, YouTube it, watch some videos about it, learn about it, right? Basically, it's the pitting of small groups, which they turn into heroes, against the large group. So a large group might be, you know, white males or Christians or whatever. These groups that have traditionally been large influences in Western society, right? And the small groups, we know who they are. We don't have to mention it because, again, they'll be calling me names, right?
Who shall not be named.
Yeah. And straight away, if you're one of these small groups, no matter what you are, you're on the good side, right? That's cultural Marxism. So what they do is they get conflict between the big old group that that's their aim, is to get rid of that big group because they want to take control, like World Economic Forum kind of stuff, right? And so how do you do that? How do you get rid of the old people that control society? You use these little groups, use them, by the way, because they will be discarded later, right? But you use these small groups who think that they're loved, right, by the people that are pulling the strings. And basically that's cultural Marxism, not financial Marxism, not classical Marxism, but cultural Marxism, okay?
Very interesting concept, Mario. Let's compare, you know, what you're talking about, the Russian version, and what's happening now in the West, in Australia. I mean, if you look back to 1917, there was a certain matter of life and death. You know, the peasants were about getting land and bread. It was in, you know, in the back of the end of the World War One, the country was in turmoil, and there was a urgency about it. People, at least people, they believed what Lenin was saying, and they went forward and fought a civil war. You know, my family was on the side of the White Army, and subsequently emigrated out of the Russian Empire, and we made our way to Australia generations later. But what's happening now in the West? It's a voluntary. There's no pressure. No one's pushing anyone. There's no shortages of bread. There's no looming war. No one's forcing anything upon anyone. These people, this degeneration that's going on, the move away from religious, family, traditional values, and the move towards degeneracy, the move towards everything that's woke, it's all voluntary. But in actual fact, I would say, and I want to know your opinion on this, it's a part of an informational campaign, a psychological operation which has been waged to remove any type of patriotism, any type of sense of country, family values, history, and replace it with wokeness, this alphabet soup garbage, this wokeism, and a destruction of those old values which were in place when you and Albo went to school way back in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, you might say that there is no pressure, right? But I say there is pressure because human beings, we work in groups, right? And most humans like to be liked by their friends and their group, right? So if you can be ridiculed, they will be able to, and you don't want to be ridiculed and they won't let you be part of the group, they'll control you, right? So I say, actually, there's a lot of force, you know, because what's going on in the schools now? Like, what's being taught to these children? How are they being indoctrinated? What's in these schools?
It's child abuse, you know?
Like back in the 80s, if you said that a drag queen could read a book to kindergarten children, preschoolers and kindergarten children, a drag queen, right? Like, that would have been, like, shocking, right? But these days, people, they almost want... It's like virtue signaling. Oh, no, it's if you're accepting of anything, it's like virtue signaling that you're a good person. But people have, like, lost track of what's good and bad.
No, well, you know what it is? I would say it's the, you know, glorification of sin, really, at the end of the day. Yeah. People who engage in promiscuous, let's say, sexual activities, that's their personal choice and their personal business, and that's between them and their conscience and them and God and so forth, right? But what's happened now in Australia is where this has become, you know, something which has now replaced Australian ideology as an Australian value. Rather than talk about Anzacs and teach kids about history and about the history of Australia and, you know, good examples, good role models, rather than have veterans come in and read stories to children and tell them about the sacrifices that were made by their forefathers, they've got, you know, drag queens reading kids' stories, dancing in front of them. It's actually child abuse. Let's just call it. It's child abuse.
It actually is.
Really, at the end of the day, what adults get up to and what they do, it's up to them. And that's everyone's personal choice, whether it's promiscuous or sinful or so forth and so forth. That's for them to answer for those things. And no one can really stop that. No one can comment on that. You know, I don't really care what the next door neighbors are doing or the people across the road are doing. You know, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't change my life. But what is bad is when they're indoctrinating a generation of children. I mean, just go back to the days when you were in school. I can remember when I was in school.
Yeah.
How confusing would it be to have these type of role models in front of you, teaching you? You know, I was sent some information from Canberra, one of the local schools in Canberra there. They've got maps in the corridors, you know, very sneaky. They've got maps showing the kids where they can go to the gender neutral toilets, and they've got them all plastered up everywhere. Yeah. And what's the message there? It's not about showing them where the gender neutral toilets are. It's actually, the message is giving them that choice, saying, oh, you, by the way, you don't have to go to the boys' toilet or the girls' toilet. You can go to the gender neutral toilet. It's about entertaining that thought, bringing that adult concept into the mind of a child. Which is it's you know, remember back in the day, right? When you were growing up, when I'm younger than you, but you know, my parents would not allow me to watch PG movies, let alone an M movie when I was a teenager or I was a kid. Rated PG, you can't watch that. The stuff that they teach the school, the kids in the school, is rated R. It's for adults, but they're teaching it to our kids.
Yeah. You know, Simeon, we used to, when I was a kid, so there was a show called Number 96, right? And it was like really risque, and it came on at about 9 o'clock, I think. And do you know of this show?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so for when I was a kid, it was a big show, and it was kind of risque, right? And we would like hound our mother to watch Number 96. Come on, Mom, can we watch Number 96? So finally, you know, she would just give in. So we got to watch Number 96, and it went for an hour, and it was, oh, wow, we got to watch Number 96. After it, there was a show called The Box, right? And this is all Australian television back in the 70s, right? And that was the show. If you were a kid, okay, you got to turn the TV off and you got to go to bed, you know? So we were like, you know, like after once you've been watching number 96 for about, I don't know, a year or something, then you can start working on your parents to, oh, mum, can we just, come on, can we just watch 10 minutes of The Box, right? Because that was the really bad one, right? So after campaigning for months and months, we were watching both number 96 and The Box, right? So this is, I don't know what year this was. I can't remember exactly how, I was pretty young. And by the end of it, you know, they always have a big ending. So you watch the next night, right? You know, oh, wow, you know, got to see what happened, right? And I remember, so this was, I don't know, early 70s, mid-70s, right? And I remember the big ending that night. There was this Vicky, this woman and some guy, and they're talking about someone else. And they go, oh, my God, they're not de facto, are they? De facto, right? So in the mid-70s, and then I was like this little kid, oh, what's de facto? Like, oh, and then I had to, maybe, I don't think I even found out for about another year or something what de facto was, right? That was normal in the 70s, that you know, these two people that were de facto was a big deal that they've written into a script in a television show, right?
Well, basically people in a relationship out of wedlock.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was viewed
as a very risque, shocking thing.
Yeah, like, but like, at the end of the day, it's.
I'm not kidding. Right?
Like, I agree with you. Look, it's okay if adults are offered adult themes. Fair enough. No worries. But that's the thing we're trying to get across on this show tonight. For those listening, the Albanese government is going down a path where they're indoctrinating children. They're poisoning the minds of children. Leave the kids alone, for goodness sake. A child should have the right to grow up, and, you know, boys should play with footballs and basketball and, I don't know, cricket and you know, toy cars or do whatever they do. Girls should play hopscotch and, you know, I don't know, what, checkers or chess, whatever kids are supposed to do, right? You just give them an innocent world to grow up in. And what we're seeing is, you know, the poisoning on children en masse in this country, to the point where a lot of parents out there, and this is a serious phenomenon, parents don't want to send their kids to school. They want to have their kids homeschooled. And then we're also seeing a lot of people even thinking of moving overseas because of this, you know, in particular moving to places like Russia, where they can bring up their children, and there are laws in place in places like Russia, and the laws are that it's actually illegal, it's against the law to advertise or show this type of propaganda to children. You can't do that. It's against the law. And you know what? The West will say, oh, big bad Russia, there's no democracy. You can't propaganda of, you know, can't show propaganda of XYZ to kids. But I think it's a great thing. That's what you call protecting children. Look, we've got only a few minutes left. Also wanted to run past you this opinion that we've had come in today. The media reports over the last week are screaming about, in Australia, about the decision or the discussions to send these fighter jets to Ukraine, these FA-18 Hornet jets. Now, it's happening behind the scenes of people like you, people like I, of any Australians out there. There is no discussion about this at all, not even in the parliament. Now, the parliament has been elected by us, the Albanese government, your mate from school, your co-accused who was involved in blocking pedestrians. It's a very serious indictable offence, 2 years maximum jail. But, you know, even he, Albanese, can't give his opinion. It's all done behind closed doors. It's extremely inappropriate. Whether or not we need these 41 fighter jets that are in storage, of course we don't need them. You don't need anything until you need it, right? If we look at the lessons of this war, everything's being brought out of the woodwork. All these old tanks, all these old planes, old missiles, old artillery rounds, they're all being brought out. Who's to say in a few years' time Australia might need these weapons, Australia might need these Abrams tanks, these 59 tanks that we have in storage, these F-18 jets? And Australia hasn't always got it right in the history of this country. There have been many examples. Let's just go to the example, a very, you know, obvious example, where the Australian government apologised, Reconciliation Day, where they apologised for the stolen generations. There are plenty of times the government has got it wrong. They got it wrong on COVID. They haven't apologised on that yet. But I believe they're getting it wrong on this one. There is no public opinion. We've got 2 minutes left. Give us your opinion in closing. but I believe they're getting it wrong on this one. There is no public opinion. We've got 2 minutes left. Give us your opinion in closing. Why should Australia send weapons, or should Australia not send weapons? By the way, our last weapons to the Zelensky regime.
Well, look, Simeon, I would just say to all the people out there, please just educate yourself, right? Look at, like, dig for the facts and find out. Like, for instance, does anyone out there know that, you know, there was a 2014 coup in Ukraine? A coup. Can I say it more times? Like, you know, so basically educate yourself. Don't just accept whatever the news tells you, right? And then once you educate yourself, you will then have the answer yourself whether we should send anybody any weapons, right? You will then be educated and know what the story is.